If you're like most people, you enjoy having a conversation with a friend who, when you walk away from that conversation, you feel like, one, you were either just heard and valued as a person, or perhaps they helped you think a new thought and gave you a new perspective on an idea. Or maybe they just shared the latest news they just heard or a book that they read that they thought you would enjoy. If you enjoy being around those kind of people, you are going to love today's podcast. It is with my beautiful friend, Diane Cameron, who is the Director of Development and Communication at Unity House in Troy. But beyond that, she is also a writer, a speaker, a spiritual director, and a writing coach. And we jumped into a great conversation around Diane's top five talents and strengths, and even some of her ones that are lesser talents, and how they've showed up in her life today and along her journey, and how they give her so much energy and compassion and excellence in what she brings to not just her career, but also all of the things she loves to do and into her relationships with her family and friends. All right, my friends, sit back and relax and enjoy this great conversation with Diane. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed. And as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter, and today I am with a dear friend that I met years ago. I don't know. We can get into that in a minute, Diane, when it was, but Diane Cameron, and she works at Unity House. She is the Director of Development and Communication, and just somebody I've always admired. And I reached out to Diane, being that we are recording this in March and it's International Women's Month. And she's just somebody that I admire on so many different levels. So welcome to the podcast, Diane.
Thank you, Sherry. I'm so happy to be here. And it is a mutual admiration society for sure.
I appreciate that. And I think, do you remember what year? Because we met at the Rensselaer County Leadership Institute, I believe, right?
That's right.
And was it 2016?
I want to say, I think it is around there. Yep. Mm-hmm. That many years. Yeah.
Yes. I know, time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I'm excited to jump into our conversation. And if you've been listening to any of our series since the start of 2022 with our guests, what we do is we look at their top five talents and strengths and how they show up in what they do. Because most of the people we've been interviewing are successful and they are happy doing what they do. And that's what happens when you really align with your natural talents and strengths. You become somebody who is not only excels at what they do, but you love it and it gives you energy. And you can see that and you'll hear that when we talk to Diane, how her talents and strengths show up in her life. But before we jump into your whole themes and strengths, Diane, share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and all the different things, because you have such a different and very interesting life. I love all the things you do.
I do, and thank you. Okay, I'm so happy to have this conversation, especially with you, but also around these strengths, because it is very, very interesting to me, because I don't think about it consciously, but in the past few weeks I have, as I've been looking at it, and we've been looking at it, because I do a lot of different kinds of work, and I sort of refer to it as a slash life or a collage life, because I have a big, we'll call it a day job. My main job is at Unity House, development and communications, everything that goes outside of the nonprofit work. But in addition, behind the scenes, for years, I have been and I am a writer, a spiritual director, a writing teacher, a coach. I'm studying to be a death doula. I help people develop their spiritual strengths, in a sense. So there's all of that kind of work as well. And I hadn't thought to think about these strengths in that context. And when I did, it was like, well, of course, this is the work you do. And of course, that's the work that I'm most enjoying. And guess what? It fits these top five strengths. Surprise. You will not be surprised.
No, it's definitely fun. And Diane, we actually opened up her full 34 report, which is really fun. And that just gives you so much more information and insight into a person, because not only do you see your top five, but you see your all your top 10. You see where everything else falls. You see what's at the bottom. And it's just so interesting. And as I was reading through your report last night in preparation for our conversation today, it was like, oh, yeah, I so see that. And every time we've had a conversation, it's like, yep, I see that coming through. And it's, again, it's no wonder that when I'm around you, Diane, there is so much energy coming out. And that's because you truly are living within your talents and your strengths and all the different things. And I can see all the little threads. So I hope for the listeners that you pick up these little clues of where they're showing up as Diane and I have our conversation. And I always just say, you know, this is why I love the whole Clifton Strengths, is because when you understand who you are, then you can show up to the world in all the different areas of your life, whether it's at work, personal, hobbies, all the things, as you're overdone, but the word authentic always comes to mind, as your authentic, true self. And give all of you at your best versus trying to fit into somebody else's mold of what success looks like or how you should do this. Or maybe you're a round peg in a square hole. You know, it's just like it gives you that insight like, oh, this is why I'm drained, instead of being that energy giver. And, you know, I imagine this world of people like you, Diane, that are just energized because they're living in their strengths. And when you're around you, you feel that energy. So imagine going into work where everybody were energy givers.
Right.
I don't know if that's a possible world or not, but that's the world I imagine.
And can we help people get there?
Right. Exactly. That's the goal, is like, how can we do that? I'll share her top 10, but we're going to hone in on the top five. So Diane's top 10 are strategic, empathy, intellection, learner, input, individualization, ideation, belief, connectedness, and relator. So Diane leads with strategic thinking and relationship building themes, which, hello, all the things she does totally aligns. So when you first kind of looked at your full report, Diane, I'm curious, like, what stood out to you the most?
Well, I think probably like most people, I wanted to see that top five and say, is that me? Is that really me? And it is. It was sort of like, oh my goodness, it really is. And then the other thing that I did, then I went to the bottom and it was like, what am I not? Or what am I less? Where are my like less strength areas? And one of the things, and this is going to give away strength number two immediately, I thought, could we use this with a sense of compassion? That person who has like my weakest area is somebody else's strongest area, they're probably going to annoy me. Those are the people that I'm going to have the hardest trouble with. And could I just say, hey, that's their strength, and this other thing is mine. Wow, couldn't we be a great team if I could stop judging them for their strength? Because I have a feeling we do that, you know? Mm-hmm. This has been so enlightening. But even as I was like forming that thought, I thought, Diane, that's an empathy strategy in your own head. Use this for compassion, you know, as opposed to competition or something like that.
Right. And I can even hear your intellection and your learner in there, because you wanted to know, can we? Is this possible? Like, those are all like not only that empathy, but coming in with those learning, like, I need to know, is this possible? And yes, the answer is totally 110% yes, that's the whole goal, is when we understand. I just did a podcast interview with my husband, and we kind of talked, because him and I are, we're not opposites. I don't think you're ever really opposites with people, but you just think different. And again, according to Gallup, your themes are how you naturally think, feel, and behave.
Right.
It's not to annoy somebody else. Right. It's just how you are.
Right.
And when we have that open communication and that understanding, like I'm just looking at, you know, the bottom five of yours, you know, that consistency, the woo, responsibility, the competition. What's interesting, my husband has consistency and responsibility high. I have them also very low. And yes, we can conflict a lot on those because somebody high in responsibility, like if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do that even at the expense
right.
of somebody else. And usually I'm in my husband and I's room, I'm the expense. Like he's committed to work over sometimes family. And right. that can cause, but now that I understand his responsibility theme.
And where that's coming from.
Where it's coming from. Exactly. It helps us really understand. Oh, and then you look at it from that light of, wait a minute, that's their strength. So how can we tap into that as a strength and use it, not to annoy somebody, but to right. bless somebody
right.
in that.
And you know what? You know where I see that kind of dynamic is because I have constancy as a lower on my list, that I have had friends to me over time say, weren't you committed to X, Y, and Z? And because I'm, you know, intellecting and learning all the time, it's like, well, I read a book, I talked to somebody, I changed my mind, I changed my belief. And they are pretty much, their gift is constancy. Mm-hmm. You know? So it helps to have some friends who are that way.
Right.
But if we were all that way, we would drive each other crazy. I think.
Totally. And we would never move
to grow. I mean, growth is so important to me. The constancy is going to take a hit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Exactly. So let's dive into so number one for you is strategic. And I do also always want to share too that even though they're listed as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, really your top five, kind of think of it more in a circular manner than linear, or definitely not, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because right. there are days you're going to pull from your whole top 10 and still be very successful. There are days strategic's not going to show up and you're still going right. to be successful. So it's not like you're always in this strategic mindset. So I always tell people, don't get too hung up on the numbers. It's just know that your top five and your top 10 are you at your best.
Right.
So when you looked at your strategic theme, and for those that aren't familiar, strategic for the overall Gallup definition is they create alternative ways to proceed. Faced with any given scenario, you can quickly spot the relevant patterns and issues. And we say strategic mindset, sometimes we see problems and the solution before others even know there is a problem. We know Absolutely. How to fix it. So how do you see strategic helping you in your role, especially at Unity House? I would imagine that's a really key one that shows up.
It absolutely is. And I have to say, my first reaction to the word strategic was, oh, like, I don't know if that's me. Because I was thinking more like spreadsheets and charts and, you know, budgeting, a strategic budget. And I was like, oh, I don't feel like that's a strength. But as soon as I saw empathy in that same circle, it was like, oh, I am an empath. Strategic, because I'm thinking, how is that person going to do? How are we going to do? If we move to A, B, to C, will somebody get hurt feelings? Will somebody feel less than? Does somebody have the right skill? Can I help them, you know, feel more comfortable because I want to move them into a new task? I want so-and-so to grow. And all of a sudden I was like, I'm emotionally very strategic, you know, and around people trying to think way ahead. What will we and they need to do to get to this other place? And at Unity House, it's key. And especially this, oh my goodness, these past 2 years through COVID, we've had to make changes every single day. You know, safe, not safe, mask, not mask, who's in the building, who's not in the building. And then how will the customers feel? How will the clients feel? We know in every business place right now, staff are drained and stressed beyond belief. So always thinking like, what's going to really help? What might help today, but might not be the longer term solution. When I look at strategic that way, then I feel like, okay, I can claim that. I can definitely claim that one.
Absolutely. And when you look at your customized strategic, definitely you see, you know, the people piece of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that shows up in my, in my coaching with individuals, like with writers or the spiritual coaching, it's very much of where do they want, does somebody want to write a book? Let's make literally a strategic creative plan to do that.
Mm-hmm. I love one of the things it says in your customized piece of it. It says it's very likely that you pay close attention to what's going on around you. You listen, you quiz people, you read, you probably take notes on key points. As you accumulate lots of information, you disregard what is unrelated and pay heed to what is really important.
Right. Well, that's one of those, you know, we were talking about your marriage, you know, for my husband and I am definitely, you know, we come home from visiting people or a party and I am always saying, do you think like their marriage is okay? Do you think like so-and-so was mad at so-and-so? Because I'm gathering all this like empathic relational data. And he's like, they were talking about baseball, you know, and I was like, yeah, but you know what I saw? I saw this.
Right. Right. How your empathy. Yeah. So your empathy pulling in all that other information is really cool. I love that. So, which actually, let's move on to that. So empathy is number two for you. And Gallup's definition of empathy is you can sense other people's feelings by imagining yourself in others' lives or situations. Where do you see like empathy really showing up as you lead lead in Unity House, especially?
Definitely in supervision. Right now I supervise, I think, 9 people and over the years, different, you know, amounts of people. And this is one of those places I think there's professional development for somebody who probably has empathy at this high place, because I have to be careful not to be a caretaker, not to be an enabler, to sort of hold professional boundaries, but also know something might be hard or somebody's having maybe something in their personal life and negotiating. How do we manage that in a professional way? But that sort of the piece that they talk about there of like imagining myself in a scenario. For years, I thought I was a little crazy because I would do that. I'm like writing a book in my head. I'm putting myself in somebody else's situation. Now I know I have a name for it, you know, and that it's, again, there's like this strategic quality of if I could figure out what's really stressing this person or what they would enjoy, then I can move toward that direction. It's interesting because, you know, there are some people who say, I'll do any job you want, but I'll never be a supervisor. I think it is. It is a very hard thing to do, but I think the most creative work is supervision.
I love that. I love how you take that lens of the empathy and the strategic and write the book mentally for each person.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's really cool. And actually, I had written down one of the questions I was going to ask is how does empathy get in the way? And sometimes it's not even get in the way. Like you did mention some of those things, but it's also empathy unchecked can be very exhausting.
Yes.
So how do you take care of yourself as a leader with high empathy?
Well, you know, one of the things that I learned, and I learned it, you know, I wish I had learned it sooner. It's one of those things I wish I had learned sooner. And I had years ago, a wonderful business supervisor who also was a therapist, had been a therapist. And she introduced me to the concept of therapeutic supervision, which is different like that when we would see it in the business place, where you go and talk to somebody else. So if I can't figure something out with an employee, I have to find a safe person who understands business to say, I'm getting all tangled up in this, or this is what the person's presenting. This is what I think the answer is, but I wonder if I'm projecting my own stuff onto them or into this and tease it apart. So it adds another layer, but I think that's what keeps empathy healthy, because I think empathy unrestrained can slip into kind of an unhealthy place and becoming a caregiver or enabler.
Right, right. Or taking on, I see that with a lot of people that have high empathy, they take on everybody's problems and everybody's issues. And we're not meant to do that like that.
Right.
Can just be exhausted. We can't hold on to all of that. So it's finding that way to release, whether it is somebody great, another peer to talk to, or somebody to talk to.
Right. And sometimes we confuse, I think, like kindness and wanting to rescue someone. You know, so-and-so is having trouble with a task that they're doing. It's like, oh, I'll do it for them. Well, when you know, we know this with raising kids, that doesn't help them grow. That doesn't help them develop skills, but it feels like kindness, but it may or may not be. And you always have to figure out which one on which day.
Right. That's more enabling than it is empathy.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Which doesn't really serve anybody most of the time. So, let's move on down to intellection. And so before we hit record, Diana and I were kind of chuckling because we just got talking on the Clifton Strengths Report and how interesting it is and the more of the science behind it is like, how can they create this? And we just started laughing because we realized, oh, there's definitely the intellection, the input, the I need to know this information coming up. Right? So we already saw that showing up just in our conversation. But with intellection, again, the Gallup theme is, or definition is, you're characterized by your intellectual activity. You are introspective and appreciate intellectual discussions. And I think intellection's not one of my higher talents, but learner is. So I feel like, I think that's also too why, Diane, I always enjoy our conversations because I feel like there is that, I see that element of the intellection coming in there. And I know when you and I have talked, I always leave thinking a new thought or questioning, not questioning in a bad way, but questioning like, oh, that was a really something to ponder. Like an idea to ponder. And I feel like that makes, when you can do that, if people are open to receiving that, it makes those around you better.
I love that. You know, you're making me think, one big part of my life, I'm a writer and I write a newspaper column. And people sometimes have misunderstood. They think that I'm writing a column because I want to sort of like push my idea on somebody. Like I want to make you believe what I believe. And I always say, that actually isn't my goal, and it isn't even very interesting to me. I want to make you think. You might think I'm wrong. Like my favorite email to get after I've written a column is, you're really wrong, and you didn't say that. I stayed up all night thinking about what you said, and I just think, I love you. I made you think. You don't have to agree with me, but did you think about this thing in a new way?
Right.
You know, did I get 1 inch into your brain? That's a success because I value thinking.
Right, right. And I love that so much because I think that's like, not to get too sidetracked on that, but that's an issue we see with society right now. It's, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Or, all right, well, you're right and I'm wrong. And that's not like if we can just come with like, oh, that's just a new way to look at that.
Right. How did you get there? How did you get to that position?
Right. Right. That understanding of like, okay, yeah, I see you with that. Maybe you convince me to think a different, you know, to come to your side, but maybe not. But maybe now I just understand. Again, it's all that understanding of why you thought that way.
Right.
And just expanded the mindset that it doesn't have to be somebody's right and somebody's wrong all the time.
Right. But keep using our brains, keep using our brains and also sharing. Another thing is friends know about me. I jokingly have a clipping service. If I find out what somebody's interested in, I can't wait. If I see a magazine article on their subject, I'm going to send it or I'm going to say, did you see this TV show? I think you'd like this movie because I guess I'm doing my little bit to like expand the intellectual conversation.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually your input. So when we get to input, that is so input coming out there. So the one part of the intellection, which is totally what you just said on your report, this is actually what it says in Diane's report. I am reading this and based on what she just shared, like, it's like, oh yeah, it's very likely that you occasionally say, I'm a fine educator. You may converse with certain people in your field about ideas, theories, or concepts to gather the latest thinking. Using these insights, you might draw some of your students into discussions that entice them to explore certain topics. Perhaps you want them to understand specific material rather than memorize a few facts about a few facts to pass a test.
Oh, I love that. It's also taking me way back years and years ago, maybe like freshman in college. I still say this was my favorite course, and it was a history course. And the guy told us, the professor told us that there would be an exam, of course. When we got to the exam, instead of saying, you know, tell me the answer to this question, tell me the answer, he said, I want you to write me 5 questions that have never been asked on this subject. And it was like my head blew off. And it wasn't easy because I had to think, but it was like, that was juicy. Let's ask new questions.
Wow, I love that. That professor must have been high intellection there.
I betcha.
What a great, if you're a teacher out there listening, like take that and grab it. Use that. Right. Use that. That's a gift to give your students on how to think a deeper thought versus right. the answers to the questions at hand.
Right.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I also love this for you under intellection. Because of your strengths, you absorb the written word like a sponge soaks up water. You revel in an opportunity to lose yourself in a book. So, and I'm just kind of curious because you are an author and you teach it. Which do you prefer, reading or writing?
Oh, it's an excellent question. I would say they have to be balanced. But I mean, probably from very, very young, I was reading, and now I understand why. I was like gathering. I wanted to think differently. I also probably got in a little bit of trouble early in school because I challenged teachers, right? You know, like, but I went outside the homework and I read this other book, or, you know, I asked my dad and he said this, like, I always was like bringing something in. So for a good teacher could work with that. My husband's a good teacher and I see him work with that. Let's say maybe a tired or a lazy teacher is going to be like, stop talking, little girl, and just do what I tell you.
Right. And I often say it's like, you know, with the Clifton Strengths, with the themes, I do believe in the premise that it is our DNA. Like it's our thumbprint. We're born with it.
Yeah.
But you just gave an example that so many times, and they don't, again, mean to do it necessarily, but it's exhausting. They can't customize necessarily, whether it's a parent or a teacher, can squish our natural talents down.
Yes.
And like you just shared, you know, in that story, and I see that with other, you know, other themes too, how they just get squished. And that's what happens. So then when we become adults, we've forgotten that little piece of us.
Right.
And until somebody says, wait a minute, that's a talent, that's a strength, let it go, let it grow.
Yeah. Right. And those squishes, unfortunately, they usually come at critical developmental moments. And so then the person, I mean, because I teach a lot of writing, and so many times somebody will come, they'll come to a public class and they'll say, you know, I've always been a really bad writer. I'm not a good speller. And it's like, who told you that spelling has anything to do with writing? Spelling is part of editing, which is a whole different thing. Get your words out. Worry about the, you know, the polish later. But people, those things got in there. Like, you can't write because you can't spell. How
right.
sad.
Right. And it probably is two different mindsets.
It's very different. Yeah.
One's creative, one's detail. Yeah, totally. I love that. I know I can't pronounce words half the time, but it's like, but I have things to say, so I'm going to say them. They may not come out right. And grammatically, I always spell things wrong, but I remember, it's funny you say that. I used to love to write creatively, but I think I did stop. I'm so glad you said that, because I think now that I'm thinking back, it's like, yeah, I was, because I never got punctuation right.
There's another one, right?
Yeah. So it stopped me from that creative writing. So now in my brain, I'm not a good writer. Not that I ever wanted to write a book, but just even just writing a blog or writing anything.
That would always make you hesitate.
Yes,
right.
Yes. So, you know, what we say to people is so important. So many ways. So your learner and input. And all of these just really, like, again, there's such a thick string that goes through yours that I can see all the different common, you know, how they just all really align and work well together. And really, we've been talking a lot about your learner without talking about learner. So learner on your top five comes in number four. It says, you have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve. The process of learning rather than the outcome excites you.
It does.
Yeah. Everything you've been sharing already has really shared that. The one thing I kind of highlighted here in the individualized part of your report says, instinctively, you may be a solo performer. You might be determined to broaden your knowledge to acquire new skills. Perhaps you are drawn to the process of education, but yet you also learn by other people. So how do you balance that? Or how do you learn best? Where do you see that coming out?
Oh, that's a great question, because I know that input is falling right behind. So, and I'm, of course, a big reader. I love to take courses, webinars, COVID has been like a smorgasbord because everything is like on webinar and, you know, you can take lots of courses now without driving someplace. So that's key for me. But also learning, I mean, maybe it's a little snobby, but I say I love smart people. The reason I love them, somebody else might love smart people for the status of it. I love smart people because I'm going to learn something every time we have dinner or coffee or a conversation. And I just feel like I'm gathering up the golden coins. But I've also, looking at this, Sherry, has helped me understand what makes me happy in the workplace is I need to be learning. You know, people will say to me, you're so good at X, keep doing more of that. And it's like, well, that's a compliment, but it's not going to help me. Put me in an environment where I have to learn something. And again, that same boss that I had years ago, Michelle, she threw me into like some program stuff. And it was like, holy cow. But then I wanted to learn it. How does a retail store work? How does a family program work? And I had to get myself some education all different ways. And I was lit up every day going to work.
Yeah. I totally, learners in my top 10. So I totally relate to that. If I'm not learning something new, I'm very frustrated. That's what even I've realized vacations. I realize when we go away on vacation, I have to find something to learn, whether it's the local wine or maybe it's going to a park. I'm not a big history buff, so that doesn't really entice me, but it's something that I can just grab onto, learn about the area. You know, it could be learning how to boogie board. I don't know. You know, it doesn't have to really be anything major life-changing learning, but just something that's just going to move me forward a little bit. Otherwise, if I'm just sitting there stagnant, I get very antsy.
Yeah. And I've seen that too, because, you mean, when it's time, vacation time or planning vacations, my first thought is, I just want to go sit on a beach and kind of do nothing. But I really can't sustain that very long. It's like, so like we have balance, like each day has to have like some sitting on the beach time, but then like one maybe tourist attraction to go to, or one nature talk, or one something, or like get a book on the area that we're in. Right. So that I can put it in context, something like that.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Believe me, I love to sit on the beach and just chill too, you know, or it might be that we're playing a game and I've got to learn how to play this game better, you know, ladder ball or something, you know, it just like it doesn't have to be anything, but I can't just sit there and read a romance novel and be happy for a week. It just like that just doesn't, I get too antsy with that.
Right. One of the things that just struck me, because I know this about me too, sort of the learner, is watch how people go to art museums, watch how people enter a gallery. There are people, my husband is one, who will go right to the wall text and read it. He needs to read the wall text almost before he looks at the painting. Some people never read the wall text. They're like, that's pretty. I don't like it. You know, they scan the whole room first. I bet you could like align the Clifton strengths with how somebody enters an art gallery.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'm trying to think, how do I do that? But I like to kind of know sometimes like what made them think of that?
Yeah.
What was the artist thinking when they created that? Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this last little thing on your learner. By nature, you occasionally bring an upbeat perspective to instruction, training, or tutoring. Maybe you regard education as one of the essential elements of a well-lived life.
I do. And I will say, this is one of those things like by my title, I'm not necessarily, I don't know, doing the right thing, but Unity House has been such a gift to me. They let me do a lot of the training. And that is an absolute joy to me. And part of it is I am committed to bring humor to whatever the subject is, because I know that's, you know, if people come to a required training and they're going to sit there and then they're going to click the box, and I was like, I'm going to make you laugh. I'm going to make you think about your own life, whatever this is, because one, it's going to be more fun for all of us. And I know that's how learning takes place.
Right. I love that. All right. So now we're at your input, and you already mentioned this. And the actual definition of input is you have a need to collect and archive You may accumulate information, ideas, artifacts, or even relationships. One of the things I highlighted here in your individualized part of the report is because of your strengths, you enjoy reading as long as you can savor each sentence and consider each idea. Your goal is to comprehend everything you read. It makes no sense to you to rush through books, magazines, or newspaper articles, internet sites, or other forms of written material just to say you finished them. Then, driven by your talents, you are determined to stay up to date on the news. You probably satisfy your hunger for current information by habitually reading newspapers, magazines, correspondence, or websites. So how does that all, and anything else about your input that you see? I know you already mentioned that you do collect things and send to friends.
I do. Oh my gosh. But like hearing you read that, it's like, okay, I need to read that to Dave to tell him the reason that I spend so much money at the bookstore on Amazon. You know, like there's books on my doorstep almost every night, you know, and I buy used now because that saves a little bit of money. But I want to read as much as I can on something that I'm learning about, and I want to get every perspective on it. So, you know, I do that. But also like my library list, like right now I'm waiting for probably 20 different books because I read on the weekend, I read 3 different book reviews and then I put them on the library list. And then the other thing, and this is like one of those crossovers, is then I also look to see, does that book come on CD or in an audio format? Because I'm also an auditory learner. So one of my favorite things to do is have the hard copy of the book in the house or my purse, and I have the CD in the car, and I will go back and forth so that I'm hearing it and reading it on the page. And one of the reasons that I've learned that I have to buy many of my books used is I write in books, and you don't want to do that for the library. I will tell the truth. I got in trouble because I still had my pen in my hand, and that's not fair. But I you know, like I make stars and I underline, or I write like cross-reference notes. Like this is like what so-and-so said. I think, you know, it, on the surface it's organization, but I also know that's how the information goes in. You know, and I say to people who are struggling with writing, they'll say things like, I can't type. And it's like, again, typing has nothing to do with writing. Get your pen out. It's a physical activity. You know, the first drafts of everything I do are by hand, because I believe that's also how information goes in. But that I have to integrate hearing, writing, scribbling, underlining. And then I subscribe to about 20 different magazines or journals. For me, and what I've learned, because they used to pile up, and what I've learned now, when a magazine or a journal comes, I look for the articles that I can tell are the important ones, and I tear them out, and then I can file them in the right file, or read them and send them to a friend if it's for them. But this that whole input thing is like an expensive strategic. Strategic. It's an expensive strategy.
All right.
But I, you know, and I joke with friends, like, you know, when I die and when there's a viewing, like, just put a book in the box with me because I'll need it.
Yeah. Well, you now know that is just one of your strengths. So yeah, definitely share that with your husband. See,
right.
This is why.
Yeah.
This is who I am. I need this.
I think this is something, and I'm going to be able to use this to help other people, because people, they know I read a great, great deal, and they'll say, oh man, you know, you read so much. I wish I read as much as you do. And now to be able to say, this is one of my strengths. This is a piece of my DNA. You have this other thing, you know, you cook, you do all these other beautiful things that I can't do. I don't do them. I read cookbooks, but I don't cook. That's a great example of this input thing.
Right. Or even looking like going back. So WU, which is like at the bottom of yours, 32 for you. So WU stands for winning others over. So somebody with high WU, they love to surround themselves with people. So they collect people.
Right.
And that's how they gather information and learn, is through other people.
Yes.
Not through a book. So we can all learn things, but we do it in our own way. So again, somebody may not have high input, so they're not necessarily going to read or collect books or magazines, but they're going to learn somehow, you know, right, through other things. So
that's I'm thinking of a real life example. I mean, a friend of mine, she gathers people, she entertains, and she entertains with sort of like the intention of like, let's talk about something. And I don't do that. I'm much more introverted and much more, but she'll say like, oh, I haven't gotten to that book you gave me yet, because I have to be careful that not everybody needs to read every book I think they need to read. And she'll, and now I'm seeing is like, she is learning just as much as I am. She's gathering the teachers around her. And I'm gathering the books and magazines around me.
Right, right. And that's a good point too, because I think those of us that love to read, and I see your bookshelf there, you can't, well, you kind of can get a sense of mine, but pretty much the same, just different, split up a little bit. I love to read as well. And I've always acted like you, Amazon, and I need to find the used book. I really need to start buying used books. But where was I going with that? Oh, but I realize not everybody else does. You know, I used to say, well, leaders are readers.
Right.
And you have to read. Like that's, I heard that once and I believed it to be true because that resonated with me. But maybe you can be a really great leader and reading's not your thing and that's okay. But how are you going to learn and expand?
Right. And maybe grow? Maybe more accurately, leaders are learners.
I like
and
that.
They, and they interview everybody they have lunch with, whether it's social or business. They're picking up an idea at their kid's sporting event, you know, but they're learning, they're gathering information, but it's a different style.
Right, right. I like that. Leaders are learners. Hashtag that one out. So one thing you just said about your friend that sounds like she probably has high woo, you have, so you're relator at number 10. And that makes sense for what you're saying, because somebody with high relator prefers the more intimate, smaller conversations. And you said that how you love to have conversations with other high intellects and pick their, you know, learn from them. So that totally makes sense as well.
I just this weekend, someone emailed like, you know, four or five women and said, like, let's all go to dinner on such and such a date. And I couldn't do that date, but I wrote back just to her and said, could you and I have dinner? I want to have dinner with one person at a time because I know the conversation will go deeper.
Yes, yes. Totally, totally relate to that as another relator.
Oh, good.
Yes.
We will have coffee.
Yes. Now I know why. Yep, you and I really enjoy the conversation. So anything else, Diane, as we wrap things up, how you maybe even more so now realize how your talents have made you a successful leader? And also successful writer, successful coach, successful spiritual director.
Yeah, right off the bat. And I've been thinking about this over the weekend too. One of the things that this immediately addresses is, what do we call it? The imposter syndrome or the fraud complex. Lots of women have it, men too. They just don't talk about it as much. But I've always felt like an imposter because I noticed those other strengths in other people, and I know they're not mine, and I think, well, I should pretend to be such and such, instead of being able to claim, even just to myself, these are mine, equally valuable. These are not weighted. There's no like external ranking here. This is a personal ranking. And to be able to say, yes, I am strategic in this way. Yes, I can intellect in this way. So immediately it takes some of that judgment off, which I think frees up energy. But also, as I was describing all the things that I feel like I'm good at, that I want to develop, spiritual director, coach, writing teacher, columnist, they all fit, especially in these top five and top 10. And it's like, okay, as I'm trying to figure out what's next, choose the things that are more or less in this area. Not to say, because it's very tempting to say, I don't do technology, I don't do XYZ. Still be willing to learn. The learning piece has to come into this for sure. But to say if it's going to have empathy in it, if it's going to have learning in it, if it's going to have these kinds of things, that's probably a place I'm going to succeed. One of the things, and you may do this on another interview, but it strikes me before people go into an important interview, a job interview, for them to know this about themselves so they can reframe. Because the interviewer may be coming from different strengths and will ask them that way. And then they can say, well, indeed, I am strategic. I do it like this.
Right. Right. Yes. And I think that's, you know, it is like knowing how you approach things, knowing what you need to not just be successful, but like you said, do it in your own way.
Right.
Because we can all be successful leaders, but you have to find your own path. And that does take care of that whole imposter syndrome for sure.
Right.
And yet you're going into whether it's a job interview or even a, you know, talking to your boss, let them know this is how I'm at my best.
Right.
You know, can you give me more so I can show up? So like, I know you shared that, how your one boss gave you things to learn.
Right.
You know, they may not have known what strengths was, but they were able, they were smart enough to know. They saw how you thrived in that situation.
Right. And I suspect as a former therapist, she had intuitively had some of that, like what makes this person tick, and would have given my coworker something very different that made them tick.
Right. Right. Because other people that have learners on their bottom, if they had to continue to learn something every day, they would be frustrated. They'd be exhausted at the end of the day.
Right. And, you know, again, as a supervisor, maybe even as a good friend, like, don't torture your friends by giving them books if they're not a reader. It's shaming them.
Right. Or continuing to ask, did you read that book yet? Did
you read this. You should read that.
I know.
They need the TED Talks. They want to watch and listen. Send them the TED Talks.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. That is a good, as I said, I'm guilty of that one too. So. Well, Diane, this has truly been a pleasure. I knew it would be a great conversation. And, you know, I think I would encourage you just continue to learn. I know you will anyway, continue to dive into the strengths. And I'll send you a list of some great books you can read.
Yes, please.
On the strengths. And keep shining your light, because you truly are a gift to the world and in all the things that you do.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections, or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.